Stephen Fonsi, Pauly Sebelia back with you on a Thursday edition of Orange Nation as we go to the guest line to bring on our first guest today. And it is our pleasure to introduce the county executive of Onondaga County, Ryan McMahon. And Ryan, thanks so much for coming on and joining us today. Some big news regarding fans once again be allowed inside the Carrier Dome, or the stadium as they're calling it, at Syracuse University. I'll get to that in a moment. First and foremost, though, I know your health has been in the news recently. How are you feeling? You doing okay?
Yeah, Steve, thanks for asking. I'm feeling better. I've been able to catch up on rest and whatnot. I have double vision, and that has not gone away. So it's an impairment. It's very disruptive. But I am healing. My doctors think we're going to improve from this condition. So just a matter of time. But one of the things when you have double vision is you can't drive. So when I get dropped off at my home on a Friday, you're forced to slow down a little bit, and that's helped me regain my stamina.
All right. Well, we've been thinking of you ever since we learned that, and you know you've been through a lot over the course of the last year. I mean, we all have, but you've been leading the way. So thanks for all of your efforts, certainly over the course of the last 12 months and moving on here into the future. You know, and it seems silly that we're talking sports, but obviously this is a sports talk show, and you know, you have bigger fish to fry, so to speak, but this is a big topic for us sports fans here in Central New York. The fact that fans are allowed back into the Dome now, beginning Saturday, and the news was released earlier today by Syracuse University, up to 900 students will be allowed into the men's lacrosse game on Saturday. I know this is something you've been working very hard on to help give us a sense of normalcy back here in Syracuse. How did this whole thing come about? You know, how long has this process been in the making?
Yeah, so really, this has been going on for a little while. The governor, probably 3-4 weeks ago, put out what the guidance was related to stadiums over 10,000 fans and what the rules and regs could be for that. And then it was getting New York State Department of Health approval. So, you know, the challenge in this scenario was the Syracuse University did a very nice job with all their reopening plans, all their testing plans. At the end of the last semester, they were working really with outsourcing their testing program, and it hurt them a little bit. It hurt them around Halloween when they could have identified some cases faster. So they made the decision to invest a lot of money, over $1 million, into their own lab using an FDA-approved test out of Yale, and they did that. That's the test that's being used day in and day out, but the state wasn't comfortable with that test. So we had this back and forth. So kind of where I stepped in is I tried to broker a deal where everybody could get a little bit of what they wanted, and we were able to come to some testing agreements over the last 24 hours. So now I wish this happened earlier so we could have had some fans to watch North Carolina and Clemson basketball, but Coach Boeheim got two wins there, so no harm, no foul there.
Yeah. And so how's this going to work? Because, you know, I was reading about it before we came on. It looks like students will need two negative tests, one within 72 hours, and then a rapid test day of the game. Can you walk us through, you know, what's expected? You know, what kind of protocols these students will need to go through to attend the game, and maybe, you know, where this thing will evolve to, and maybe when, you know, some of the fans and the public will be allowed to go to the Dome.
Yeah, so I think with the lacrosse games, I think the university will probably have to decide on what they can do related and how they would do season ticket holders. I do believe they want to get season ticket holders into the stadium. With students, they will do the surveillance testing that they get done now on a weekly basis. And then within 6 hours of the actual event itself, they will do a rapid antigen test. And so certainly you would need two negatives to be able to get in. We do these rapid antigen tests throughout the community every day as part of our kind of asymptomatic testing program throughout the county. So whether or not these folks can come down to the on center for a test on a Saturday morning, or whether they're giving these tests out on campus. I'm sure it will be a little bit of both. But that's how we get folks into the games. Certainly there's going to be screening protocols, temperature checks, et cetera, that folks have to go through anyways. But hopefully this is all kind of the first step of a process. The key is the vaccination process, which is going on right now. It looks like supply is increasing rapidly. So I believe we're going to be in a position probably in May, at least at the end of May, where at least the adult population in our community will have had the opportunity to have getting received a shot. And that's going to change everything. Once we get heavy participation there, we see the herd immunity building up. The rates of positivity with the virus should really skyrocket downward. Right now, Steve, to give you an example, we're at today 0.8% positive rate in our county. So we are actually probably leading all of New York State with the larger counties. But when you compare us to other states, Texas, for example, 12% positive rate. We're at 0.8. So COVID's about finding balance and really what's acceptable risk to the public health. And right now, certainly, we need to readjust that balance so that we can start to address other issues like mental health.
You know, we'll get back to the sports stuff in a second, but since you're talking about the vaccinations and whatnot, I do have to say that I've had several family members get vaccinated. I myself have been fortunate enough to get vaccinated. I'm an in-person professor at Syracuse University, and I was eligible, and the university encouraged all of us to get vaccinated. It is a well-oiled machine that you've got going there between the fairgrounds and the War Memorial and the different places that we've seen, the testing sites. What have you learned over the course of the last couple of months as the vaccination started to roll out to where you are now that has improved this process to such a great degree?
Yeah, well, you work through it, right? So you have two, in our community, we have two mass vaccination sites, right, with the fairgrounds and at the On Center. That's the best way to get shots in arms. And then you learn different things, right, because you'll have some days you're given first shots and second shots. And, you know, every time that your first time you do that, you know, there's certain tweaks that you have to learn. But overall, those are, to your point, they're well-oiled machines. But what we have learned related to equity of the vaccine, when I say equity, it's not that every member of the community who qualifies under 1A or 1B doesn't have the ability to get the vaccine. They do. You can go to the fairgrounds, get an appointment. You can go to the On Center. But sometimes the online registration process favors others that are tech savvy. And we now know via enough data that specifically members of the African-American community do not go to the mass vaccination sites at the same rates as Caucasian members of the community do. So that's when we pivot our vaccination strategy. We work with credible messengers within these communities. We go to the Boys and Girls Clubs. We go to churches. We'll go to neighborhood libraries to make sure that we're getting to all members of the community, because that's how we're going to end this pandemic, is we need everybody to get a shot in an arm.
You mentioned the word mental health or the phrase mental health a few moments ago, and I would imagine, I was going to ask you why it's so important to get fans back in the building, but I'd imagine it's for everyone, right? It's not just for the fans. It's not just for the community. It's for the athletes. It's for the coaches. It's for everybody, because this has been a mental health challenge for everyone.
Yeah, if you we're approaching a year of cases in New York, we just went past that, but we're approaching a year since our first case here in Onondaga County. If you took a minute and just closed your eyes and thought about what we've been through for the last year, it's traumatizing, no matter who you are, and about what's happened and every turn, the fear, the anxiety, COVID has had many victims in this pandemic. Some have paid the ultimate price with the neighbors that we've lost. But part of what COVID has done, when you look at mental health, when you look at the opioid crisis, when you look at what's going on with suicide rates, you look at our kids not being in schools, there are many, many victims of this pandemic that did not actually get COVID-19. And so we have to do what we can do to get our lives back using the data, making good public health decisions, and then vaccinating. And that's what we're doing. And that's why getting fans into a sporting venue or into a museum or into a theater is so important for everybody for their mental health, because this is a serious, serious issue.
Last one for you, Ryan, before we get you out of here. I'm gonna let you be an SU fan for a minute, and just, you know, take off your work hat and just put on your fan hat for a moment. SU basketball playing well, peaking at the right time, it seems like. Two big wins over Carolina and Clemson. We're going to spend more time on the show talking about it. Just from a fan perspective, how enjoyable has it been to watch this team? And do you think they can do it? Do you think they can get to the NCAA tournament?
I think they can. I think they're playing much better. I think the fact that you have members, Richmond's been contributing for a while now, but Edwards' contributions give Coach more tools, especially when we're playing against bigger bodies. And, you know, the fact Buddy's shooting better, I think we need to get Gerard in good positions where he can get more open looks. But overall, I think it's a dangerous team. You don't want, any time you got a team that can shoot the three the way we can, and now we're rebounding better, I think we're a tough out. And I like the fact that, you know, even though being on the eight bracket in ACC is where we'll probably end up, I do like the fact that we didn't play Florida State this year. If we can get through that first round, I think even though they're big and strong, I think we got a better sense of how to match up against those teams now.
I got to say, Ryan, if you ever decide to step away from politics, I think you might have a career in this whole sports talk radio thing. That was a very sound analysis. In all seriousness, though, I think I speak for everyone. Just thank you. What this country has been through and obviously our community over the course of the last year, it was scary for everyone involved. I'm sure scary for you as well. And just your leadership through this and day by day updating everyone and being transparent. And now, you know, getting us to the point where we're almost on the other side. And I know it wasn't just you, but, you know, Mayor Walsh and everybody that you work with. And anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, because it's, brighter days are ahead, and we appreciate your leadership.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It's been a great team effort. We got a great team here with Team Onondaga County, with all of our residents. And we're a big family, and we'll be stronger when we get through this pandemic. And it's going to happen sooner than later. So hopefully our summer will be a great summer here in Onondaga County.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Ryan, on such short notice. We appreciate it. Continue to feel better, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Steve.